Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
238.
238.
It's been a while.
It has been.
And I can see that wasn't a day. I think I make that joke every single time. It's been a while. How you been, Scott?
I've been predominantly good.
Saw that you baked yourself a little bit.
I did.
Tell us a little bit about where you were. Tell us a little bit about where you were this past little bit.
Yes. Yeah, so the past 8 days, I was partially with power listener Tom Brophy.
Power listener.
Celebrating his big 5-0 birthday.
Oh.
Now, a year and a bit ago, I had my Hawaii 5-0
right
birthday.
I was there
here,
right,
with a bunch of tiki stuff, and Jen knocked it out of the park with the whole setting it up. So Brophy had to one up me and actually go to Hawaii. But
Greg Brady motherfucker,
I know. But the nice thing was, he was like, if you can get down here, I'll cover the rest.
Nice.
So, by and large, that was the case. I did do a big dinner, one of the nights, five things. I haven't juggled that much normally. So I was doing steak plus, mushroom wine reduction sauce plus keto muffins plus the Hawaiian bread that Tom got plus, asparagus plus salad. I think there was something else. Tom wasn't really paying attention to the cooking part. And then I get all done, he's like, when the fuck did you make muffins? And I'm like, well, I was prepping veg, and then I got the meat ready, and then I started on the muffins, and then I moved over to this, and
nice.
Not quite sure how it all came together, but it all came out at the same time, so it worked
Excellent.
Out. So we were on the island of Kauai in Hawaii. Which I think is now predominantly my favorite of the Hawaiian Islands. I've been to Maui, Hawaii, Oahu, Molokai, and Kauai in 1977.
Okay.
When I was 10.
You were 10.
Or actually, I was 9.
Okay.
And it was so funny because we went to the air quote, luau. When we were there, drove up, and I saw the entrance, and I immediately took a picture and texted my dad and said, is this where we came way back when? And he's like, yep, that's where we went in 77. So
wow.
42 years prior, I'd been there.
Holy crap.
And so that was a weird dawning of, okay, I've been here and I've seen these things. And I've been to Maui again in 99, so 20 years ago. So I'm hoping it's not 40 or 20 years again since I go to Hawaii. But it's not as touristy. I mean, Maui, everybody wants to go to Maui because surfing and partying and all that stuff.
Weed.
Yeah. And it's still not really built up. So if you want to go party and be with a whole bunch of tourists, Maui's great. Hawaii and Oahu, big cities. Yes, you can get away from them. But Maui and Hawaii and Oahu, huge cities, huge resorts, hotels everywhere. Just, you know, it's the destination.
Oahu has that fucking Lost Monster.
Yes, right. And so, Molokai, I don't much remember. I think it's a lot like Kauai in that it's not very populated, not really a touristy destination. So it was really nice. It was laid back. Yes, there is tourism. It is the Garden Island. It is where all the, because it is the oldest of the islands, it is the greenest of the islands because there's been time for the lava and pumice and everything to break down into actual soil so that there can be stuff. Go check out my Facebook page for pictures. But like, Raiders of the Lost Ark, first movie. Mm-hmm. When you see the big title card that says Peru, Harrison is riding on a donkey, they took a helicopter to get Harrison up and airlifted a donkey up onto this Razorback Ridge on the west side of the island, and that's what he was walking down. So that's Kauai. Mm-hmm. And then near the falls, all the Hawaiian words are flooding my head right now, and I can't remember, but Wailua Falls. On the Wailua River, there's a huge plane. So when he's running out to get on the seaplane, running from the natives, that was shot there for that plate. And then the reverse plate of him getting into the airplane is shot in a totally different spot.
Nice.
Tom went and did a zip line through the area where all the stampeding dinosaurs run through Jurassic Park. So yeah, a lot of the films that you've seen there, we really wanted to do a helicopter tour, but at $300 a person, nope, not doing it. And yes, did some diving. It was awesome. Funnily enough, so the house Tom got was at the south end of the island in Poipu Point. At Breckner's Beach, and Jen and I decided to go snorkel because they were off doing something else, and I'm figuring, okay, we'll see some fish, it'll be cool, get in the water. Jen points, and there's a honu, which is a Hawaiian green sea turtle, down between the lava fingers. So we kind of go over there, about 3 foot diameter shell. And then I'm looking over and I see one on an upper ridge going along, about 4 foot diameter shell. He's kind of cruising. I'm kind of looking at him like, oh, this is cool. I thought I'd have to wait till I was scuba diving and maybe I'd get to see one. And Jen's like, okay, it's getting kind of cold. Let's go back. So we're going back and I'm swimming. I'm looking around. Then I look up at Jen and I kind of look over her shoulder. There's a 5 foot fucking sea turtle. And my first thought was, I wonder if Jen sees a sea turtle, because with my dive mask I have the front is open and then the sides have glass, so sometimes I see weird reflections in my peripheral vision. And then I'm like, of course she sees a sea turtle. But he hung out with us for about 10 minutes, just at the top, and he'd stick his head above the water and I could put my head above the water and see him swimming around. I kind of looked at him, took a big breath, went down, kind of looked sideways at me. He went down, then we came up, he came up. So we just kind of hung out for like 10 minutes. Nice. And it was like, okay, this is pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Met people on the Sunset Cruise from Federal Way.
Oh.
Met people at the Luau dinner from Seattle.
Wow.
Met a guy that hopefully I'll go diving with the second day I went diving from Sammamish.
Jeez.
So got to go all the way down there and see all the Seattle people, and everyone was talking about we left the white cold stuff for the white sandy stuff.
Nice.
So yeah, it was a good trip. It was very relaxing. It was very gratuitous. If it hadn't have been for Tom's birthday, would not have made the trip. So it was just sort of a real bonus extravagance very lucky. I'm paying for it now.
Yeah.
Or I'll be continuing to pay for it for a while now. but it was a nice trip. So
excellent.
Yep.
Cool.
I was a little worried when we first got there. It was a bit rainy
and
cloudy and gray and stormy. And the weather kept gradually getting better every day, and everything that we wanted to do, like when we went on the dinner cruise, it was fairly smooth. But Jeff, one of Tom's friends, thought he might be seasick. He was totally seasick the entire 3.5 hours.
Oh, no.
And when we got around to the West End, it was a choppy.
Oh, no.
It was a really choppy.
Oh, no, no, no.
And the captain was like, yep, this is way better than it was yesterday. And when we went and hiked Waimea Canyon, it had rained and then not rained. But it meant that the trails, which are in underbrush, were very muddy, very rooty. So we opted not to do that. So yeah. It was good weather, good times, and got some cool stuff in. So
excellent. Sounds great.
And they got hit last year with flooding, I think around April. So it's been almost a year. You still can't get to the northwest end of the island.
Jeez.
You can go around the east side where we stayed, which is where the airport is, and then north up to Princeville and Hanalei, but you can't go any farther west from that. So a lot of the dive sites are closed down. A lot of the tourist stuff is closed down. So everybody's down on the south and the east side. But yeah, it was, and I asked, I said, was it because of, you know, the ocean? They're like, no, just abundant rainfall and everything from the mountainous region just came down. In fact, the Wailua Falls hike that we did, we kayaked up for 2 miles and then walked in a mile to the secret waterfall. And that's a whole new trail system. Because of the flooding. It took out the original trail, so they had to
blaze a new one. Jeez.
So, yeah, there's a lot of... And it's just on that island that really happened. But, yeah, beautiful stuff.
Wow. Awesome. Well, that sounds, my time's going to sound super boring. What I've been doing is streaming. So, for those of you out there who enjoy watching people play video games instead of playing them yourself, please come follow us at twitch.tv/2bards. I've been doing some solo streams, mostly of Futurama. And then I did a stream with Brian S. Lewis of Chronicles of Riddick: Escape from Butcher Bay, which might be not the best. It's pretty damn close to the best licensed game I've ever played, though.
Nice.
Shockingly good. And old. I mean, it's on the original Xbox, but really good. Like, lots of fun.
And you played that on the new souped up?
I played it on my original Xbox that I modded.
Yeah.
So it is a modded Xbox, but it's not accelerated or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just, and I'm using the pound HDMI cable. Today after this podcast, we're actually going to go pick up another game, from our friend Metal Jesus. If you don't follow him, he's on YouTube. Just look up Metal Jesus or Metal Jesus Rocks. He's a Seattle retro game guy. Amazing collection, very knowledgeable about games. He worked for Sierra for a while, which, you know, I think we've got other friends who worked at Sierra, you know, so that's pretty cool. Big company, though. I don't think anybody knows anybody else.
Yeah.
And in fact, we met a producer from Sierra when we went down to
to
Snake River Fandom Con.
Yes.
Who lived with Margot Kidder.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting. But anyway, so check that out. Check out our streams. We are going to be streaming. I'm going to be trying to stream way more frequently, for a couple of reasons. One is it does bring people sort of into the two bards fold. And two, it might be about the only way to actually make money at this shit anymore, because YouTube and Amazon keep squeezing and squeezing and squeezing, and there's just no more money to be made unless you're selling movies directly to them. I don't know if you heard, but the latest, I just got an email from Amazon about their video direct stuff. So remember when I had my rant about how they did this tiered pricing and the first 100 million views are like 6 cents a minute or whatever? It's way worse now. Now they're doing it by engagement. So commenting and star and rating and all that stuff. So a million minutes, right? For a million minutes should be a million minutes.
Yeah.
A million minute stream should be, but it's not. Now, if you don't have a lot of customer engagement, you get 4 cents per minute or whatever, 4 cents per minute.
Yeah.
If you do, you get 10 cents. Like, so it ranges from 4 to 10 cents now, which means big companies are, you know, money gets money. So it's basically going to screw over small people again.
Yeah.
And then YouTube, of course, is a whole thing right now with their content ID, and they're just demonetizing everything. And not that we've ever monetized anything on YouTube.
No.
But fuck it. Like if we depended on that, we would be screwed. And there are a lot of people who are, in fact, screwed.
Yeah.
Because they literally, that's what puts food on their table.
Mm-hmm.
Yet here we are.
Yeah.
So other than that, I was really sick. Really, really sick earlier this week. At one point, I had 103.5 degree fever.
Wow.
It lasted for 3 days. Fluctuating. I had a fever for 3 days. It went anywhere from 99.9, it went all the way from that to 103.5. Terrible cough, terrible congestion. So that was fun. I also saw sea turtles, but they were hallucinations.
They were hallucinations. Yeah. Yes. So, well, and then I had to go back and look at the calendar because it's been almost a month since we talked. But when last we left our intrepid listeners, I was just finishing Red.
Yes.
I just closed that. The Super Bowl had just happened and Snowmageddon had not yet happened in Seattle.
Well, remember the very, very first part of Snowmageddon happened on Super Bowl. We saw it when we,
right.
But not yet.
But it hadn't really. And so I had an audition on Monday that after the Super Bowl, the snow hit. I could not get a block in any direction out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't go to the ACT general auditions.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, well, if you can't, because we're still going to have them. But if you can't because of weather, we'll reschedule them. So they were last week while I was in Hawaii.
Womp, womp.
So that didn't happen. So we got hit on Monday. That was the big day.
Mm-hmm.
Started to warm up, Tuesday and Wednesday. And then Thursday, I think at one point we had about 14 inches here.
It was terrible bad.
Yeah.
I loved it. Don't get me wrong, but
no,
I hated it.
I loved it, but could not go. I don't think I left the house. So Jen and I's cars got tagged over the holidays, and we decided to get them fixed.
Mm-hmm.
They both went in a day apart. Mm-hmm. We got them back a day apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened during all the snow.
Oh, boy.
So I had a rental car that sat in the garage pretty much the time I got out to drive that car. And Jen had to go to work during this. And luckily, she had sort of a mini SUV Hyundai Tucson, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So she was okay, and I felt good about that. I had like an Elantra, which wasn't going anywhere. Really nice though.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Like 2018 car.
Jeez.
But yeah, didn't get anywhere for like 5 days. Thankfully we went and stocked up on some food.
Yeah.
And just kind of hunkered down and waited for Hawaii and thawed out. So some of our inability to podcast was weather related. Some of it was illness related.
Very true.
And then some of it was vacation related. So
also true.
We apologize for sickness, Mother Nature, and scheduling, but thanks for hanging in there. And
yeah, sorry we broke our vows. Though we never married any of you.
No.
Scott might have married some of you, but as an officiant.
Yes.
No one who listens. Okay.
But all people who could listen.
Oh.
So the Sheltons?
Yeah.
The Cummins?
Mm-hmm.
And well, Carissa and her man.
Hmm.
It was a wedding, but it wasn't a wedding. So supposedly when it's a real wedding, I'm supposed to do it, but haven't heard anything. And then and we're going to have more hurdles because I just started rehearsals for 12 Angry Men.
Indeed.
So
that's part of why I'm trying to do streams to,
yes,
you all have access to that Twitch, you know, you can just sign on for free. You don't even have to sign in, I think, unless you want to talk in the chat, but twitch.tv/2bards. Log on, give us a follow. That'll help us get to affiliated. Once we're affiliated, we can actually continue to grow and eventually get to partner, maybe.
Mm.
Partner's not probably something that's in the cards. That's like, yeah, the people who do that professionally, but affiliate still lets us get a little extra income off of it.
And some promotion, I think.
Some promotion,
too.
Yeah.
Pop up in feeds and stuff.
Indeed,
so
we do. And if you have a Twitch that you want us to watch, let us know in the Discord, discord.2bards.com. We'll pop on to it occasionally. We'll friend you. It'll be great. And we also, provided it's on brand with the channel, we'll also host and we'll do host for host and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So
yeah.
Yeah, let us know. But I've been having a great time with it because it really is a great way for me to play games.
Yes.
Because I have to make the time to do it, and it's been a lot of fun. The one coming up that we're going to go secure the game for today from Metal Jesus is going to be fun. I haven't got anything figured out, but the game is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. I think everyone's really going to like it. So we'll announce that soon. So
and I am going to try and avail myself to that. I did start playing Soma.
Nice.
I got that on something, I think Humble Bundle.
Right.
And tried playing it with the keyboard, which was frustrating as hell, till I plugged in the controller.
Yeah.
And everything got really, really easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny that you can't do two things at once on a keyboard, but you can on a controller.
It's
whatever. Yeah. But yeah, so far it's pretty good. I am somewhat cheating because I'm not really good at the games yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of getting a walkthrough to get my bearings
mm-hmm.
and then playing through it.
Nice.
So the walkthrough is helping me understand what's going on, and I'm playing at easy level. And once I figure it out, then maybe I'll go for
the hard levels,
super stealthy mode. But right now it's kind of cool seeing a couple names
yeah
come up, and it's like,
look at that.
Gotta wait and see if there's some other names that come up as I get deeper into Theta.
Are you're talking about character names, right?
Character names,
right?
Yes.
right Okay, cool.
So
cool. All right, well, we should we've left you guys hanging.
Yeah,
so we should get to, first of all, let's get to some answers from our question.
Yes,
last week, which was, what is your biggest letdown from a major event?
Since this one is verbose and I'm closer, I'll read that one because it will probably be easier. Linkmaster General writes in, the TLDR answer is Star Wars Episode One. So much anticipation, so much disappointment.
Womp, womp.
The full answer is, on a personal note, during my poor college student years, I was an inbound telemarketer at Cabela's when it acquired Gander Mountain. They had this major event. It was huge, huge liquidation sale to get rid of all the Gander Mountain branded inventory they had just acquired. Tons and tons of outdoor gear, tents, backpacks, Cannondale bikes, hunting and fishing gear, all 80 to 90% off. Where the fuck was I when that sale was going on?
Well, not where that would have happened anyway.
No. And what was more, employees got first crack at the goods. I remember a group of us camped out overnight so we could be first in line. We drank homebrewed beer and watched the sun come up. It was an amazing time. This is where the suck comes in. As a poor college student, I was broke. A close coworker mentioned as a full-time employee, he had a line of credit with the company. I would eventually have the same benefit, but I hadn't been full-time long enough. He offered to let me use his line of credit multiple times. The day of, though, after we'd done the shopping spree and were checking out, you saw it coming, he changes his fucking mind. I come from a poor family. My mom was a public school teacher and for a time, the only one drawing income. Money was always hard. This fucked with me so hard, I felt so humiliated, it still stings. I still have trust issues when it comes to money. Thanks for the lesson, John. Parenthetical. Asshole.
I mean, because of the cheeks, aren't all assholes parenthetical?
I believe you're correct.
Okay, thanks. I can read it now. Rival Guy says, I had to buy my personal copy of the first commercial game I worked on because I had been a contractor and my contract expired before the game was printed.
Oh, fuck.
I had to buy my copy of 1-2 Switch. I know the pain.
That's just bullshit.
Bullshit!
Rob McLennan writes, when I was the service manager for the eastern half of the country for a computer manufacturer, the branch manager decided that my department had to be a, quote, profit center. To make this change palatable, he told me that myself and my two service techs would receive 10% commission on labor and 10% of the profit from part sales, with a minimum floor of 20 points profit on part sales. I knew my market. The vast majority of items that I would sell would bear up to 60 points profit while remaining more than competitive with the local market, some 90. At the end of the month, we should each have been receiving a couple of $100 in commissions. It was more like $30. And in Canadian money, that ain't much. The manager explained that that was because we received 2% on parts, which was 10% of 20 points. The next month, I ran a spreadsheet that calculated profit points from aggregate sales. The last week of the month, I called up my best customer and ran a fire sale until they had bought enough to drop almost 60 points profit down to within decimals of 20 points. Disappointing me and my workers resulted in the same profit for more product.
What? So this isn't a letdown so much as a get back.
Yeah.
Go Rob. Well, so our question this week that we post to you, because Scott is fresh off the old holiday, is what is your dream vacation? Not just location, your dream vacation. The accommodations, the travel, everything. For me, it is and always has been traveling to some snowy mountain resort a week at the resort, and then 3 to 4 days each way on train in a sleeper car.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of my, not for skiing. I don't like skiing. I just like looking at snow out the window with the cocoa and I make good keto cocoa. With the cocoa and the fire.
Mm, and the fire, yeah.
That's the ticket. I like that shit. So for me, it would be great to do, you know, like that big cross-country train experience kind of thing, Orient Express kind of. If it was a themed train, that'd be even better.
Yeah,
like a late 19th century steam engine sort of thing. Ooh, so good.
You might get to go to Snoqualmie Pass on that.
Yeah, but that ain't gonna be a couple of days.
No, go to like Breckenridge.
Yeah.
Or Vail.
Banff.
Banff. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, Whistler's awesome. Whistler Blackcomb. Two mountains together. Mine has been for a long time, if I admit it to myself, and now more than ever, is to dive with whale sharks. And I don't care if that's going to Phuket, Thailand, if that's going down in the summer months to Mexico, if that sometimes they come through Hawaii, Honduras, South America. I don't care. I just desperately, desperately, desperately want to go dive with whale sharks, the world's largest fish.
Indeed.
And the great thing is, their throat's so small, they can't swallow me.
Nope. Though, if you've ever watched Jackass the movie. Anyway, moving on. All right, well, let's get to your questions. As always, we answer our questions on discord.twobards.com. So log in there, say hi. And I'm going to keep pushing this. Twitch.tv/twobards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it more. Scott's going to start doing it. It's going to be fun. You'll see some special guests that you know, some maybe some new people you don't. We'll see what happens. It'll be fun. So Matthew Hunt writes, what is your preferred / go-to sci-fi franchise / universe? Oh, this is a tough one for me because my preferred is Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Like, it's my preferred. I don't want an intergalactic civil war with a bunch of fucking religious zealots on one side and a bunch of Nazis on the other. Not my bag, okay? Firefly, fuck no. I like fantasizing about the Old West. I don't want to live in it, especially on a moon. So no there. Babylon 5 is dangerous as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with Star Trek. But I think I haven't watched the latest episode, so this might change. But I think maybe even the Orville's version of Star Trek. Because it really is a Star Trek universe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, post-scarcity. No money really that you have to worry about. You do what you do because it betters you and it betters society. You know, you could go be an actor somewhere and that's just what you do, you know, or you could be on a ship or you could, you know, teach at the Starfleet Academy of Phoenix for people who can't afford to get into Star. I don't know, you know, but well, they can afford because, yeah, but extremely long lifespans. It's a good universe. I'm going to take that one, I think.
Mine will be no surprise to anyone, Star Wars, mm-hmm. for sci-fi, but for high fantasy, I would have to say, Stephen Donaldson's Thomas Covenant.
Yes.
Universe.
Mentioned.
Yeah. I like Tolkien. I love Terry Brooks in the Shannara series. But I just think because I read it at an age where I was very impressionable isn't the word. I was able to put real world people into characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've talked about it, but I had like a math teacher who was a big curly haired bearded 6'7" dude. And
just a Mr. Cotter.
He became Salt Mr. Heart Cotter, phone Mr. follower. Cotter. You know, yeah. It was just the, okay, now I know what the giants look like. They look like my math teacher, mm-hmm. you know, and these things. And it was really a time where I could just delve in and I didn't have preconceived notions and the puzzle pieces just fell into place. So mm-hmm. I think that's,
yeah.
And his gap into space universe is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that he takes on anti-heroes. And with mm-hmm. Thomas Covenant, it's the reluctant hero.
Mm-hmm.
And with Gap Into, it's a really bad dude who you have no sympathy for, who has even more horrible things done to him that then turns around being, if you will, quote, the hero.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the good guy, the protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
Just you're going one way with this story, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, how can you do that to another person? And then veers off to
mm-hmm.
what the story turns into. So, yeah.
Cool.
Rob McLennan asks, appropriately, what is your survival plan for Snowmageddon 2, the Snowpocalypse?
Was now
was
very
yes.
was we kind of already mentioned it was hunker down.
Yeah,
that's literally what we did. I too did the grocery shopping thing, but I wasn't psychotic like everybody else. Bread and milk, bread and milk,
yeah.
Bread and milk. Obviously for a couple of reasons, but the biggest one, like, what are people fucking making with bread and milk?
I don't know.
It's like the only, I guess, sandwiches and milk. Sandwiches and cereal. It's so bizarre. The thing that fucking cracked me up, though, toilet paper aisle completely stocked. I'm like, someone's going to have a bad time.
Yep.
Especially if you're eating a bunch of bread and milk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just basically, we lucked out at our place. We didn't have our power go out.
Mm-hmm.
The internet didn't go out. It got a little janky, but it didn't go out.
Mm.
I work from home, so that kind of sucked. I didn't like get a day off or anything, but it was amazing. I shot a couple of little videos. I think we put them up. I think I shared them on the Discord, but basically just absolutely beautiful, very quiet for a very long time, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
We have a Subaru, which is the closest thing you get to a superpower when it snows. Yeah. So, and then yours was also hunkered down, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Matthew Hunt writes, what podcasts do you have on your short list? Well, it's a real short list because it's none. I don't actually listen to podcasts.
I don't either, although I am now subscribed to some YouTube channels.
Me too.
Linus Tech Tips.
Can't stand that guy.
I've been watching a lot of... They went through... Yeah, there's a lot of drama that's going on with Linus the last couple of weeks.
I want to wring his neck. They have good information 85% of the time.
Yeah.
10% of the time, they have some stuff that's just dead wrong. And then 5% of the time, it's just fucking bullshit. But him, I want to fucking strangle that guy.
Yeah.
Me, I prefer watching Electronics Bo Pritchard, Ben Heck, who, I mean, he really fucking looks like Bo Pritchard. But yeah, like, Linus, I just want to punch him.
Some of theirs is long, and I don't get as much into those. Unboxing Therapy, both of them Canadian.
Yep.
Burley is another really fun one because he does phones, he does everything.
Well, and he'll change his primary drivers based on, like, he'll take a week with stuff he unboxes, and then he'll come back and give you his impressions of it later. Plus, he does, like you said, camping gear, especially like USB gadgetry gear. Oh my God.
Yeah. He did the sleep sound thing.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not even getting paid to do this. I bought another one because it's changed my life. And so he geeks out on that. And, you know, $1,000 Bluetooth speakers. And
oh, he had that $9,000 laptop that one time.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But Pocophone is one that if anyone's in the market for an inexpensive, could possibly be the new OnePlus, take a look at the Pocophone F1. Hmm. I think it's got a Snapdragon 855.
Nice.
Three cameras on the back.
Hmm.
It's a pretty impressive phone. And he's like, you know, okay, the sound's not great, but it's not the worst thing he's heard.
Mm-hmm.
And you give up a few things here and there, but by and large, it's as good, and it's $400.
Yeah.
And then Simply Scuba, which is a UK dive shop that sells stuff, but they'll do news.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if there's beached whales, or they do the thing about the guys who rescued the kids in the Taiwan cave, and they'll do some product reviews, which is really nice. Or they're like, here's the, you know, here's top five in no particular order regulators that we like for 2019.
Nice.
And so they're just, you know, 2 to maybe 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's just, they've got one of the guys that does it is not a diver. He just works at the shop, and he's slowly been doing more videos and says, I'm the, you know, the most prolific non-diver YouTuber. And the other guy's great. So yeah, they've got a lot of fun things, and then they'll do some longer ones like what non-divers think divers do. Or the top five things not to do as a diver or that new divers do. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of take the piss out of things, but they've got some really good stuff. And it's short. It's digestible. I don't have the attention span of an hour long YouTube thing. I just, unless I'm really into it. And Linus has a new... I just started watching it. It's almost 2 hours, but that's because he's got to swap out a water cooler. But it's the new Intel, not workstation, not server, but not...
not consumer.
Not consumer. Okay. It's the new, like, double-sized 28-core new socket base, the whole nine yards. Right. The motherboard is twice... And he said... Obviously, Intel doesn't trust people because they're sending us the entire computer built the test bed.
Wow.
And the card is twice as large as an ATX motherboard.
Jesus Christ.
It's huge.
Yeah.
12 DIMM slots for DDR4 memory. I mean...
Sorry, I'm drilling a little.
Plug in two 20-pin power supply... You can plug in two power supplies to the motherboard. I know. I'm going to send it to you. You're going to hate Linus. You're not going to want to get through all his bullshit antics, but...
I'll just fast forward to the fucking machine.
Just look at the pictures. My God.
We should do like the things we watch. So like, because I've got a few that I've been watching lately, like Dark Fable Media, which is a really funny UK production channel. So they primarily shoot with the same camera we shoot with. Additionally, they've done videos. They do music videos and stuff like that in the UK. They've done them on Ari Alexa's. They've done them on Red's. It's a really, really funny channel. I think it's not for everybody. The humor is a little basic. It's a little tongue in cheek and stupid, but I really like it. Additionally, I've been watching ETA Prime, who I can't straight up recommend, but if you like watching people do just the weirdest shit with single board microcomputers, ETA Prime does this thing where he will take the M2 port on certain microcomputers, convert it to a PCIe port, and then plug a full desktop graphics card into it. So like the Latte Panda, which is a small Intel single board computer, he's plugged a 2080 Ti into that and gamed on it. And it's really funny because it's a quick way to find out where the bottleneck in your game is. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of games will run 4K over 60 frames a second because the card is so huge. But then you get to something like Grand Theft Auto 5, and it's so CPU bottlenecked, it still can't even run like 720 at more than 40 frames a second. It's really funny. So stuff like that. I've also been watching a lot of hot tent camping YouTube channels. There's a guy, Joel Robinette. Mm-hmm. They're all Canadian, by the way. Every one of them, Canadian. Yeah. But Joel Robinette will get you to everyone else. He's so connected with everyone. But I think Outdoor Experiences is another one. Those are so much fun because it's just some dude usually.
Yeah.
Who goes out in the middle of the Canadian wilderness. It's always the Canadian wilderness. Digs out some snow, puts down a tent, puts in a wood stove, and cooks something and drinks a beer or whiskey. It's fucking great. But it's almost like relaxation therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Rob McLennan writes, gosh, we keep going back and forth between the same people. What makes me wonder? No,
that,
sorry.
Makes me, yeah.
That makes me wonder if you ever listen to old entries of your own podcast for the Member Berries.
Nope. James Peters writes, got any beef or other meat jerky recommendations? People's Choice is my current favorite. It is a keto friendly beef jerky. Available on Amazon. There's another keto jerky that you can buy at Pike Place Market that I really like, but I don't off the top of my head remember the name of it. Seriously though, People's Choice is just about my favorite. It is really, really good.
That's the one I was gonna pull up, was People's Choice. Are you getting that?
Yeah, I've gotten it before many times.
Because what we need to do
is go in and get a bulk.
Yeah, yes,
I agree. Because
then we can get free shipping directly from them at the same, price as Amazon.
Yeah.
And I have been not ordering that because I'm like,
well, it's like $8 a pop to ship it.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. But if we get four orders, five orders.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that was my beef for other meat. Although I have been going up here to Grocery Outlet, mm-hmm. and I can get like a pack of what's links? Hot links, beef links?
Oh, Jack links.
Jack links. For $2.99 a bag.
Yeah, and the sugar in it's a little too high, but
I'm getting,
as a snack, it's fine.
I'm getting them at five.
Yeah, yeah. As a snack, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'd rather have nothing.
Right.
It's zero carb.
And that's why I want to get that one, because I always look at the other one going, yeah, okay, I want some.
Yeah. I like it, too, because it's a much drier jerky. It's a very dry jerky, and I like that. I like
that.
So
you can chew on it a bit. Yeah.
You reconstitute it. It's great.
Yeah. Matthew Hunt writes, what webcomics, if any, are you currently reading, and which would you like to catch up on, if any?
The only one I actually read on a regular basis at all is Ogloff, which is it's a very adult-oriented, usually single-page, but it can go multiple pages, comic from an Australian artist.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Vansell shared one of a spider doing something pretty terrible. I won't get into it, but yeah. And I was like, that's childish and stupid. And then I read more. And then I'm also loving, I can't remember what they're called off the top of my head, but they're these... It's a new webcomic from, and I think it's only on Instagram or something like that, but it's aliens doing human things and pointing out how weird they are. It's like, we've circumscribed the sun one more time. It's like, here is food. I've set it on fire. Like, it goes through the whole thing. And it's just really funny. Those are fantastic.
The only ones I ever read and should probably catch up on were Order of the Stick and Looking for Group.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed both of those. Demon Hunters, the webcomic.
Are they still putting those out?
No.
Catching up on that's super easy.
Don't have to catch up on it. Yeah. But I do love Mr. Honeycutt's artwork.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's great, yeah.
That's it.
Matthew Hunt again writes, given the large number of candidates just from the Democrats, what would your 2020 campaign slogan be? Fuck, dude. Yeah, I guess it would be something along the lines of Scott C. Brown and Andy Dabrowski 2020. Yeah, we're here, I guess. Why not?
Mine would be, go ahead, look for the skeletons. They're in plain view.
Yeah. I think I tweeted this. I was like, I woke up today and had to check to make sure I wasn't running for president in 2020. Because it does.
Jay Inslee.
I know. It looks like a fucking Smash Brothers roster. It's insanity.
It's I think it's 20 now. There's 20.
20 in 2020?
Yep.
And hindsight is 2020 and...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, that should be our campaign slogan.
Hindsight
is 2020. We might be able to win on that catchy slogan.
Yeah. When you give a brutal quip, but you're talking out your ass, is that hindsight?
I think so.
Cool. Yeah.
James Peters asks, what would it take to get Andy Dabrowski to play some Apex Legends on PC? I know he doesn't PC game much because of the way his house is set up, but little beyond that.
So I did install it and have yet to have time whatsoever to sit down with it because I've been streaming in the living room where there is no PC. I could play Apex Legends in the living room on stream, but it would have to be on Xbox or PlayStation 4. That being said... I really am scared of multiplayer games.
Do you have to purchase it?
No, it's a freebie.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can grab it. You just grab the Origin game launcher from their site, And
oh, it's on Origin. That's the one that I'm missing because we got a game.
Fucking Origin. There's Ubi or Uplay. There's the Steam launcher. There's the GOG universe now, but I don't install that. I just get the installers. Fuck that.
I can't find how to do that anymore. It was like not letting me just install the game. I had to install the installer.
So you have to click on the game. And then you have to click on like downloads or something like that. And then at the bottom of where it says GOG installer, there's a little link that says offline installer. And you click that to get it. Yeah, it's a pain in the dick. Because they really want you to use their launcher because that's their store too. And you when you go play a game, you get their other games presented to you. So whatever. Kevin Mickelson.
Hold on. One thing on that. Let me get...
Sorry, Kevin. You're going to have to wait.
Let me get this pulled up somewhere if I could figure out. Carl Thompson sent me a YouTube link for Fractured MMORPG.
Yeah.
Which looks interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too long again for me to look at, and it's not really giving me anything. It's 33 minutes of looking at the gameplay, but it's supposed to not, it's supposed to be more like a pen and paper, pencil paper type, so that you're leveling up immediately. It's not do all this stuff to then get gear, to then get all this gear, to then be able to do other things. It all happens kind of organically at the same time, which looks interesting, but I can't make the screenshot bigger, and it's at this point way too long. So
I hear you.
But yeah, it it looks like an interesting one.
Yeah, and I Apex Legends is kind of like the only game in town really for Battle Royale that I'm interested in. I just have not had a chance to. It's for the people who made Titanfall. I think it's in the Titanfall universe, but way before Titanfall. So yeah, like that's cool, but at least it's not Anthem. Anthem's a whole thing.
So,
I'm actually like the game I'm kind of excited to go home and look at soon is it's Dirt Rally 2.0. I really like Codemasters racing games. Codemasters has been around forever. They're a British, I think they're a British development company. They've been making racing games forever. Dirt was their big thing, but Dirt Rally is, it's my kind of game. It's like Sega Rally Championships, which was my very favorite racing game of all time. So I'm interested in that. But when it comes to MMOs, I kind of got that monkey off my back. And I'm kind of going to try and stay that way.
Yeah, I'm, and that's the only thing that really takes me out of it is I don't play games well enough to go public with my ineptitude.
Yeah, and if I want to be called a dickhead by a 12-year-old, there are a lot better, more fulfilling ways to do that.
Yeah,
I can just go push someone down at a fucking park, and I can get that enjoyment out of it. So, Kevin Mickelson writes, I'm about to have my character that I've played for 3 years pull a surprise heel turn at the end of a grueling combat encounter. Only the GM and I know. The possibility of this happening was hinted at vaguely about 9 months ago or so. My wife is in the group. How do I avoid divorce?
Reminder, it's only a game.
Best way to avoid a divorce is to never get married.
Yes.
The second best way to avoid divorce is don't do something divorceable. She's not going to care. Not going to care. As long as it advances the story, just be like, what would Daphne do? What would Lodge do? How would they react to this? It made the story better, right? See?
Story trumps rules.
Including rules of marriage. So do that. All right. Well, we got through it.
We did.
And now we're going to go get through some other stuff. So,
yes.
Thanks again. Sorry for the wait. We are trying to put out more consistent content on other venues. Like you've seen Scott just posting a bunch of really cool stuff from his outings. The streaming and stuff like that. If there's anything else you guys would like to see us do that is a little easier on, like, for one person to deliver, let us know. Let us know in Discord, and we'll certainly take it under consideration.
Oh yeah,
because you know, like, it's not super easy for Scott to stream games here, but it is for me. I can set it up no problem. It, you know, I don't know how to dive. I'm not a diver. I have not
dove.
Divin. I not part of the Divin Nation. I think Janet Jackson runs that. Like, let us know anything else you think might be interesting for you as fans to get, as we have been getting busier and it is troubling to, get together to do the podcast sometimes. It should be clearing up a little bit,
yeah.
But like, even now we've got the play, ECCC is coming up and I'm working that all weekend. So that would have to go to a Monday probably. Project Metaverse is coming back, which I may do. I haven't heard anything back. I thought I was maybe gonna do it, but I don't know. We'll see what happens there. So anything else we can do, we would gladly jump on.
Yep, for sure.
To make our Patreon patrons happy, like Hawk Robinson
or James Peters,
Leslie Sedlak,
Rob McLennan,
Stuart Hume,
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment,
Gordon D. Duke,
Dennis Nickel,
Jay Blanken,
Casey Lee.
Off the top of my head, Dougie Sharp.
I believe Seth M. Davis is part of it.
I heard a rumor, Todd McKimmy.
Yeah, a lot of Jerf.
Oh. Super fan.
Tom.
Hawaii Brophy. You know, he's Magnum from now on.
Laura
first time in his life. Sorry, Tom.
Laura F.
James Herbert.
Bo Pritchard.
Tim Martin.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
And Rival Guy. Yes.
Yes. Who may be showing up on a stream. I'm just saying, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
You don't know. Maybe. Who knows? I know.